Hello everyone, I'm Oliver Newman, author of Fans Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and Fans Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. And I'd like to introduce you to Positive in Pro Wrestling, Episode 8. And it's been a tremendous week of wrestling news, so we'll start with the wrestling news first of all. The absolute biggest news, of course, is the return to the ring of Daniel Bryan. I was able to catch this segment, so I'm just going to talk about it really quickly. A fantastic segment with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and watching Daniel Bryan do the yes kicks and the corner drop kick. It's like he hasn't been away from the ring for the last few years at all. It was absolutely tremendous. And Daniel Bryan's, one of my favourite people in wrestling and one of my favourite performers to watch. So absolutely fantastic news. So happy for him to be back in the ring. And it's amazing news to kick off the show. And as always, I can't really watch Raw, and apart from that, SmackDown Live, because I'm a month behind on the network. So, and with Five Star Wrestling going out of business, the podcast and, the show is going to be a bite-sized show. Let's get on with it. We'll start with, just one more thing. Strong Style Evolved, the New Japan show from this past Sunday, didn't make the cut this week. But hopefully I'll have the time and the opportunity to put it into next week's show as well. So let's get on with the 205 Live thoughts and feelings. So with 205 Live, they're building towards the cruiserweight tag titles again with Lince Dorado and the Deo Itami. Itami was at his best in Pro Wrestling Noah when he was a villain, so hopefully that's where he goes with this as well. TJP looked, pretty good in the squash match against Kenneth Johnson. And then the main event between Drew Gulak and Mustafa Ali in the other semi-final of the WWE Cruiserweight title tournament. It was absolutely superb. Gulak and Ali have a brilliant chemistry in the ring, and that's been shown since day one when Gulak went after Ali for his high-flying moves and with the PowerPoint presentation and stuff. So, absolutely fantastic. And Ali is just amazing to watch in the ring. He's quickly becoming one of my favourites, if not my favourite wrestlers to watch, really, because obviously he can talk with the promos and the Twitter videos and that. And his wrestling ability is amazing. His high-flying ability is outstanding. He's quickly becoming one of my favourites. And Mustafa Ali against Cedric Alexander is set for WrestleMania for the WWE Cruiserweight title. And they've got an opportunity now to steal the show. And I hope it's just the start, really. Like I said in last week's show, Ali wins, Alexandra turns on Ali, and they have an amazing feud, which puts the Cruiserweights back on the map again. So I'm hoping that's how it goes. So, 205 Live, a bit of a one-match show, but the one match was absolutely incredible. So, a definite contender for match of the week. Moving on to NXT, another contender for Match of the Week, Roderick Strong and UK champion Bruiserweight Pete Dunne against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch was a really good tag team match. I love technical wrestling, so this was right up my street. Technical wrestling with, strong style and submissions, absolutely brilliant, and really enjoyed this match. And it'd be interesting to see how far Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne can go in this title tournament after taking over from Mustache Mountain. Looking forward to seeing the debut of Ricochet. That should be quite good. Loved Shayna Baszler on the commentary team for the Ember Moon Aliyah match. That was really good. Lars Sullivan sighting. He's returning, so that's really good. Cassius Ohno and Adam Cole had a really good match as well. That's pretty good show, in all honesty. from top to bottom, with, you know, New Orleans fast approaching, the wrestling was good, and so was the storyline progression. And yeah, I can't believe I almost forgot this, but Johnny Gargano jumping to Master Ciampa as well, that's probably going to be my segment of the week. That was amazing. So yeah, really good NXT this week. And then, yeah, moving swiftly on to Impact Wrestling. Before we get to the report, I had the absolute pleasure of asking a couple of questions to PT Williams. And yeah, he was really talkative, and that will be part of this show. So I hope you enjoy my questions and Petey's answers.
Hi, Petey. It's Oliver Newman here from Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thanks. How are you?
Good.
My question is, a lot of wrestlers have come through Scott D'Amore's training school, including yourself. What is it about Scott D'Amore and his training that, you know, can get a wrestler ready for Impact Wrestling or beyond?
First it helps that Scott is pretty well known in the wrestling world. Well, it doesn't matter what company you work for. So, you know, it's good if you align yourself with Scott. Before I started training with Scott, before Impact was around, I think he was, you know, doing a little bit of work with WCW, you know, doing enhancement matches and stuff like that. Maybe the same with WWE. But the one thing Scott really focuses on is, you know, what he doesn't want to do is just sign up, he takes your money. You know, a lot of wrestling schools do that, and I think it's wrong. He knew I had talent when I first started. You know, I had the basics down and all that kind of stuff. But at the time when I met him and I was going through wrestling school, I was still, like, going through college and working on my degree and diploma and stuff. And he was very, very strong about and adamant about, you get your college degree, you work on your school first. Once you get that, then we can go on and pursue, you know, your wrestling career. Because he understands that it's really important for wrestlers to have something to do life after wrestling. If you look at a wrestling career, it lasts, like, what, anywhere from, I mean, a career, like, where you make it, like, on a big company, let's say, for example. An average career could last from anywhere from 5 to 8 years. That would be a good career in a big company. So he understood that. So he wanted to make sure that all of his students had some sort of backup plan just in case it didn't work out for you. And that's what he did. And pretty much as soon as I graduated college, within months, he was like, hey, you know, they have a little angle for you called Team Canada and Impact, and I think you would be good for it. What do you think? And that was kind of my opening. But he made sure I was done school first. So Scott's not just the guy that, you know, is a good trainer and stuff like that. There's a lot of good trainers out there. And just Scott has connections. He's he cares about his students and everything. And, you know, he makes sure that you're taken care of. Because, you know, he can't succeed unless you succeed. That's how business works.
Thank you. Is there any X Division legends from the past, if you could, bring them back into the new X Division in Impact Wrestling? Who would you bring next?
That's another good question. That was like, who would I want to see in the X Division? Man, I wish I had these lists. You know, if you gave me some time to actually go through and think about it, I could probably answer all these. I always liked Loki. I remember, and I told this to him, to his face. I said, you know, I didn't like wrestling him before. I didn't understand his style. It was difficult and stuff like that. But by the end of his one run there when he was Senshi, man, I almost cried when he left because I loved wrestling him by the end of his run there. So, you know, I always hate to see him go. Obviously I would like Loki back. Amazing Red, too. I don't know what he's up to nowadays, but, man, I love me some Amazing Red. Let's see, who else? I mean, I would say those two are the top, and then obviously all my buddies I'd like to have back there, but, you know, they're under contract other places. I think that's low-key and Red.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
So yeah, moving on to Impact Wrestling. This was a very story-centric show for me. I liked Albatron and Austin Aries is like, face-to-face. And I look forward to seeing them go one-on-one at Redemption. That should be quite cool. Big fan of Trevor Lee for anyone who listens to the show. And obviously Caleb Conley as well. Yeah, anything involving the Cult of Lee is quite cool by me. So OVE, obviously, this is a despicable situation and stuff, but it does make for compelling viewing. The interview with Petey Williams, no bias involved, that you really fired up about his Feast or Fire briefcase. Yeah, like I said, very, very storyline centric show. Sue Young debuting was pretty cool as well. Tyrus walking past the EC3 interview backstage and saying, "I hope he gets fired," was quite funny. I enjoyed that. Eddie Edwards and Sami Callihan coming to blows was pretty cool as well. And yeah, and then the main event, Abyss finally got. Congo Kong and Jimmy Jacobs finally got what they asked for with Abyss answering the challenge. And, you know, the Monsters Ball match was as brutal as you can imagine. Blood was shed, barbed wire was used, power slams through tables, and, you know, etc. The only thing I'd say with this is with the pay-per-view, towards the end of April, I probably would have kept this kind of match for that pay-per-view. So I'm not quite sure why they gave it away on free TV, but nevertheless, Eli Drake's response to getting a tag team title match when he hasn't got a partner was funny. Petey Williams against Matt Sydal in a long X Division title feud would be amazing. EC3 and Moose were the last two, which one would be fired. Moose gets the world title shot, and I've been really impressed with him for the longest time, so that should be quite good against Aries or Alpatron. And then EC3's acting was off the charts in, the way he froze, and he laughed about it and said he's a Carter, and, his career's coming to an end. And then he got the fans to chant along with him, because he, he's professional, and then he slammed the briefcase over JB, which I don't know why I chuckled about that, but I did. And then really great use of Brian Cage by sending EC3 on his way, really, disposed of him with the drill claw. And then we find out towards the end of the show that it's Brian Cage versus Lashley again, So, yeah, that should be really interesting on this week's Impact Wrestling coming up. The amazing news just keeps coming in here at Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast, as it's been announced today that Impact Wrestling is returning to the UK on September the 9th as part of the Wrestling MediaCon 2018. For more information on this astounding event, be sure to check out WrestlingMediaCon.com. So yeah, that's the bite-sized version of Positive in Pro Wrestling. We got match of the week is, I'm going to go with Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. That's my match of the week. Segment of the week is Johnny Gargano finally getting his hands on Tommaso Ciampa. Okay, and we finally was able to have my book signing and Q&A at Pro Wrestling Cartel in the Oasis Market on Corporation Street in Birmingham this past Saturday, the 24th of March. And I sold a couple of copies and books. One copy of my WWE book, one copy of my British wrestling book, and I was able to be a part of Talking Wrestling with Tom Baker of the Best of the British Indies, and that was really fun. I hope you guys and girls enjoyed listening and watching that interview back as much as I enjoyed being part of it, and hopefully Tom enjoyed interviewing me. So yeah, that's pretty cool. And yeah, tomorrow night or tonight, if this is released on Tuesday morning, we'll be doing a WrestleMania special ahead of WrestleMania with myself, Chris Lappin, and Nick Davey. And yeah, I think that sums up everything, really. I hope, once again, I hope you enjoy this bite-sized version of Positive in Pro Wrestling and you understand the reasons why it's a bite-sized version. And yeah, I'm Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, and A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. And of course, I'm a proud member of Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. And until next time, this is Oliver signing off. Thanks, everyone. Bye for now. Bye.